believer, why don't you stand and let's give God some praise in His house today. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the New Testament, the book of Acts? We're going to look at Acts chapter 27. To all of you, thank you for being here this morning. All of our guests, all of our members, we appreciate your attendance. For those of you who are joining us online, thank you. We're going to look at Acts chapter 27. We're going to look at verse 9. And if you're with us, say amen. Here we go. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship that by the things spoken than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also. This entire chapter in Acts 27, the entire passage is talking about Paul, who gets on a boat in Alexandria. He's headed toward Rome, and he encounters a major storm. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, how to survive a storm. Amen. Because I know every one of us, we're either in a storm, or we've been through a storm, or it seems like we're about to go into a storm. So I'm going to talk from the word of the Lord, how to survive a storm. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, the Bible teaches us that there are three types of storms that you and I deal with. The first type that we deal with is storms that we bring up on ourselves, much like how Samson brought up on a storm himself, and he had self-induced troubles. Then you have a storm that God causes, and that's much like the disciples who were in the boat, and the storm came upon the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus calmed that storm. And then the last storm that we see is the storms that other people cause for us. And here's the example. Paul and Silas, they were preaching Jesus. They were doing right, and yet they still got thrown into prison. So in our text this morning, the Bible tells us that Paul got on a ship from Alexandria, headed to Rome. And after the ship ventured through the Mediterranean Sea, they harbored in an isle called Crete. And it was there that God spoke to Paul, and he advised the crew not to leave the harbor because of a forthcoming storm. So if you have your Bibles, look at verse 12. And the Bible lets us know that the crew was impatient, and they wanted to get to a better harbor, and so they ignored the warning that God had given Paul. They totally ignored it. Can I tell all of us that sometimes impatience gets us into trouble? Do I have a witness? Impatience was the problem with this crew. They wanted to get out of this harbor, go to another harbor, and sometimes we get impatient. And we just decide, you know what? I just got to get married. I'd much rather be happily single than unhappily married. Come on, somebody. I have at least three witnesses in this house. And then sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we get impatient and we just say, we've got to get this new job. Or we get impatient and say, you know what, I just feel like that it's time to move to another city. And we see through the scripture that the crew got impatient and they didn't check things out with God. And because they didn't, they got themselves in a big old mess. Look at verse 10. The Bible tells us that Paul told the sailors, "Men," he said, "I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and to the cargo and to our lives as well." But look at verse 13. "But they set sail anyway. Why did they do that? Here's why. Because most of the time we follow human nature. The Bible tells us that the centurion who had control, so to speak, over Paul, he ignored Paul's pleading along with the captain and then also the owner of the ship. They just decided not to listen to him. Brothers and sisters, we get ourselves in a mess when we listen to the wrong experts. And you got to be careful today what you read on the internet and who you listen to on the internet, because it seems like the internet is full of experts. And one expert will tell you to do this, flip the page, and then the next expert will tell you don't do that. You got to be careful who you listen to. And can I get a witness? The only reliable expert is God. It's not even your mama, and it's surely not the internet. Before you set sail, make sure that you have a clearance from God. Before you get into that next conquest, before you get into that next job, be sure that this is the door that God is opening for you. Here's another reason why they got into a storm. The majority of the crew decided that they needed to set sail. Look at verse 12. They hoped to reach Phoenix and its safe harbor on the other side of Crete. We can get ourselves into a mess when we listen to the majority. I'm not saying that the majority is always wrong. I'm not saying that it's wrong to take a vote. But the fact is, brothers and sisters, the majority can be wrong. Just remember in the Old Testament, go in your mind to the book of Exodus. God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they got through the Red Sea, and it wasn't just a couple of days. And the whole majority was wanting to go back to Egypt. And they were wrong. Why were they wrong? I want to encourage you. God doesn't bring you out of Egypt to take you to something worse. When God delivers you from one thing, it's always to bring you to a better thing. Can I encourage you this morning? Here's my whole assignment. I want to encourage you that God does not get involved with any of us to decrease us. He doesn't get involved with us to leave us in Egypt. He gets involved with us to bring us out of the mess that we have found ourselves in and to bring increase into our life. I know that religion has taught you that God is angry. He can't wait to knock you outside your nappy head. But I'm telling you, that's religion. That's not the love of God. God is love. He loves you. He wants to bring you out from the mess that you got yourself in. He don't want to push you down. He wants to lift you up. Come on, somebody. I said God is here this morning not to push you down. He wants to lift you up. Now, if we listen to God instead of the majority, guess what happens? We'll go in the right direction. You know why else we get ourselves in trouble? Because we rely on circumstances. Look at verse 13. Notice the Bible says that there was a gentle south wind. And you know what they did? All the crew said, man, this is what we've been looking for. Circumstances are right. Let's set sail. You have to be careful, brothers and sisters, to ignore what God has already told you, even though the circumstances look favorable. I've heard people say, well, this decision must be okay because I feel so good about it. Some of you that are old like me, you remember a popular song back in the 70s, and it went like this. How can it be wrong when it feels so right? Some of you know that. The fact is, brothers and sisters, feelings do lie. And if God said wait in the harbor, it doesn't matter how good the situation looks now. A storm is coming and God wants to protect you from it. Don't just listen to your feelings. Don't just marry her because she looks good. Come on, somebody. And so now, because they made the wrong choice, They're in the midst of a huge storm. Look at verse 15. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. Another word for that is we let her drift. You see, when we are in dark circumstances and we don't have a compass and we don't know what to do, you know what we normally do? We drift. We let our goals just throw them out. We forget our values and we start drifting. Here, look at verse 43 through 44. With the sailors, the Bible tells us that it was first the cargo that went over. Then it was their tackle and eventually their food. They threw it all overboard. Oftentimes when we find ourselves in a crisis, what we're tempted to do is we are tempted to throw everything out that is important to us. The values that we have hung on in better times, we have a tendency to throw things out. Why? Because we get under pressure and we just want to get rid of it all. I've seen this, you guys, many times. I've seen an individual have 3 months of sobriety, even from CR, and they give them a sobriety chip. And then something bad comes their way, and guess what they do? They take a drink. And they told me this on their own accord, so I'm not just talking here about what I don't know. The Holy Spirit convicted them after that first drink and said, put that down, put that away. But you know what? Because they were under pressure, they went back to what was familiar. They drank the whole bottle. After they did that, then they called some old friends. After they did that, then they started smoking something they shouldn't be. And then before long, they're throwing out everything that they had been doing so good for the last 3 months or 6 months. That's exactly what the enemy would try to get you to do when you're in a storm. Well, you've already taken a drink. You might as well take another one. You already said one curse word. You might as well say another one. You already made this phone call. You might as well make that phone call. I'm begging you. I am pleading with you. Don't throw out your values and don't throw out your goals and don't throw out your dreams because you're in a storm. Can I get a witness? We become impulsive and we run out on relationships and we throw away values and we throw away things that even we've learned as a child because the pressure is on. Now look at verse 20. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. So here's how it goes. When you're in a storm, you first throw out the cargo because you just decide I don't need that. Then after that, you throw out the tackle. Then after that, you throw out your food. And then after that, you throw out hope. Here's what they told me. They told me that a man can live 4 minutes without air, but only 4 seconds without hope. And when you've thrown out hope, brothers and sisters, you've just about had it. The last thing that we throw out when we have a problem is hope. And when we have thrown that away, we have had it. Look at verse 27. It tells us that the crew spent 14 days in this ship in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. They were battered and they had been beaten by this storm until they threw everything out and they gave up all hope. I do not know exactly why the Lord put this message in my spirit, but I know that God never makes a mistake. There is somebody here this morning. You may have gone through the storm of your life this past week, this past month, or this past year, or you may be in it right now. And I'm here to tell you that the last thing you want to do is to give up hope on Almighty God. Because that's what the sailors did. They gave up hope because they had forgotten that God is in control. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but there's somebody here that you're just about to give up hope because of this storm that you have been in. But the man of God and the word of God is coming to you this morning. And I just want to encourage you, do not give up hope. Because God can inject hope into what seems like a hopeless situation. God is never early, He's never late, but He's right on time. And God knows how to bring you out from whatever you may feel like that you're in today. God knows how to give you hope. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Now here's the amazing part of this story, and that is Paul's reaction. Paul's reaction is 180 degrees different than the crew's reaction. It's totally different how both of them respond to this same crisis. Because the sailors were in despair. They said it was hopeless. They were depressed. They were discouraged because they had tossed everything overboard and now they had lost hope for their very life. But now I want you to juxtapose the crew to Paul. And I want you to see how Paul, in this whole storm and story, he was very calm, he was very confident, and he had courage and he had hope. Can I tell you that one test of our Christianity is how we handle a crisis? Hey, when everything is going well and everybody's healthy and the income is rising and your kids are doing good and your job is doing great and prayers are being answered, that's one thing. But brothers and sisters, when all of that is reversed, because character is not made in a crisis, character is revealed in a crisis. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? And here I'm here to tell you that the test of our faith is when problems come and we're tempted to despair and we're tempted just to drift and throw everything out that's really important in our life. So what should we do when things look as if they're falling apart and the boat is about to crash? Look what the sailors did in verse 29. Fearing that we would dash against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and they prayed for daylight. The safest thing you can do this morning if you are in a storm is this. You can drop an anchor. What do you mean drop an anchor? Jesus is the anchor. And here's what my daddy taught me. Wayne, when you don't know what to do, don't do anything. The scripture says when you've done all you know to do to stand, then you just stand. And you say, God, I don't know to go to the right. I don't know to go to the left. I don't know to go forward or backward. I don't know what to do. Well, when you don't know what to do, you just stand. And you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Because God is going to come to you. And He's going to rescue you. And He's going to give you hope. Here's what the Bible says. In Psalm 125 and verse 1, I love this. Those who put their trust in God are immovable like Mount Zion. Just know that the devil can't come in and destroy you. If you just stay steadfast, Jesus is my anchor, and I'm going to hold on to Jesus. This storm may blow, it may batter, it may toss me to and fro, but I have an anchor, which is Christ Jesus, and I'm going to hold on to Jesus because He's brought me through this storm. I have all the confidence He's going to bring me through this storm. Often when people encounter a major problem, they want to change everything in their lives all at one time. I encountered this personally with a family member of mine. Why do they do that? Because situations feel overwhelming and they just can't stay still. I encountered this, as I said, with a family member, and here's what I encountered. When a person, when they lose a spouse through divorce or through death, the typical reaction is this: I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to sell everything and move to a whole new location and start over. Can I tell you, that is exactly what you don't need to do. You don't need more change in your life. What we need to do is put down some anchors and get some stability. So why was Paul so confident? He was encouraged by three tremendous truths. And this is what I want to give you this morning. These are truths that we can build our entire lives upon, and it will stabilize us during a storm. The first anchor in a crisis that you should put out and know is the presence of God. I want you to look at Acts 27, verses 23 through 24. In the midst of the storm, Paul said, last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whose I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. I want to encourage you here this morning. From this, we learn that storms can never hide us from the face of God. I want to say that again. Storms can never hide us from the face of God. We may not, when we look up, see Him, but He looks down and sees us. And the storm that you are going through, you may look up and say, I can't see God. I can't feel God. I don't know where God is. I'm here to tell you that the storms of life may seemingly hide your face from God, but it doesn't hide God's face from you. He sees exactly where you are, and what you can anchor to is the presence of Almighty God. Because Hebrews 13 tells us, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. No matter what situation, brothers and sisters, you may be going through right now, God is with us and His presence is with us, and you can anchor your soul to the presence of God. Here's the second anchor, and it's found in verses 24. He said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. God told Paul, in other words, Paul, I put you on this boat in Palestine. I'm going to get you to Rome because I have a purpose for you. You're going to preach before Caesar. You're on this boat because I want you on this boat. I have a purpose for your life, and that purpose is greater than this temporary storm. Are you getting this? God had a purpose for Paul's life, and may I tell you that God has a purpose for your life. God doesn't sponsor any flops. I'm going to let that soak in. Your parents may have come together and it may not have been the best situation, but listen, there can be kind of accidental parents, but there's no accidental births. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And unless you just turn around and say, I'm not going to serve God, I'm not going to walk in obedience to God, unless you do that, the Bible tells me that man cannot thwart your purpose. God is going to bring you to Rome if He's decided He's going to bring you to Rome. And it doesn't matter what kind of storms you face. You got a purpose, ladies and gentlemen, and you got to know that is an anchor of the soul. Come on, somebody. The point is this, and that is, it's dangerous to focus on our problems more than it is our purpose for living. And life can just come in such a way you feel absolutely smothered. Like, how can I even take my next breath? And we get our eyes on our problems. And when we do that, And what we have a tendency to do is just start throwing everything overboard, and we forget our purpose for living. And when we begin to despair is when we keep our eyes upon our problems rather than God's purposes for our life. I want you to look at verse 25. Here's where Paul says, "Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God, that it will be just as it was told me." Here's the third anchor. The first one is God's presence. The second one is God's purpose. Here's the third one, and that is God's promises. God keeps his promises without fail. He told Paul, "Paul, listen, I'm going to get you there." And Paul believed him. You can believe the promises of God. Somebody said there's almost 7,000 promises in the book. You know what? You ought to get a couple of them and hang on to them as anchors in the time of your storm. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. You can depend on the presence of God. He will never leave you. You can depend on the purposes of God, what God placed in you, in your mother's womb. He said, "Jeremiah, I called you and I ordained you to be a prophet. I saw you in your mother's womb and you're going to prophesy." I'm here to tell somebody, I don't know what storm you're in, but God put this word in my spirit. God's going to bring you through. God's going to bring you out. God's going to deliver you because he's a good God. Somebody give God some praise in this house. Storms cannot hide our face from God. Storms cannot change the purpose of God. And storms cannot destroy the child of God. Why? Because God's purposes are true. Some of us in this room this morning, you're going through some difficult situations even right now. And our problems can feel so overwhelming. And we just think, you know what? We're going under for the last time. But God says to us, we may lose the cargo. And we may lose the tackle. And we may lose the ship. But we're going to make it because of the promises of God. Would you stand to your feet this morning? You say, "Pastor, I've listened. I've heard what you've had to say. So now what do I do? What do I do when I'm waiting for this crisis to end?" Well, I think that we do the same thing the sailors did. You anchor yourselves to God's truth, and then you pray for daylight. That's exactly what you do. "Lord, I can't really feel you right now, and this storm just seems to hide me from you, but I know you see me. And I know you know exactly what I'm going through. And God, I just don't believe, Lord, that you've brought me this far to drop me now. I believe you're going to take me all the way. Because I can believe in the promises of God. Because God's not a man that he should lie. God has got a work for each and every one of you to do. And I don't know what storm you're in, but I want to encourage you, throw out some anchors and just pray for daylight." Here's what the result happened aboard that ship. The morning came. Say this with me, morning came. Surely you've read that verse, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." And this area has been known to go through some hurricanes. You've faced hurricanes. I've faced hurricanes. We've all faced storms in life. Here's the good news. No matter how bad that storm is, it can be a Category 5 storm. No matter how bad it is, it don't last forever. When you're going through it and the wind's blowing 120 miles an hour and everything around your house is blowing and you think, "Dear God, am I going to make it?" I'm here to tell you, yes, you're going to make it. How am I going to make it, Pastor? Because you have the presence of Almighty God in your life. You've got purpose. You're not just here taking up space. Can I preach to somebody? God did not put you on terra firma for you just to take up space, live rent-free, suck up His air, use His resources, get you a good job, buy you some toys, get you a retirement, and then die. Amen. No! In fact, I want you to look at your neighbor and just tell him no. No, tell him no. That's not why God put you here. I hope you enjoy your toys and I want you to earn a dollar. Nothing wrong with any of that. But the purposes of God are way bigger than toys and a dollar. The purposes of God, come on, are way bigger than your retirement and your 401k. Come on, somebody. So morning came, and when daylight came, the sailors didn't recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground. Look at the very last few verses. Here's what it says. All, not some, all 276 people on board that boat were saved. Why? Because God spoke a word to Paul. And Paul said, you know what? My everybody is just kind of freaking out. I can be calm and confident. Why, Paul? Because I have His presence. Because I know He put me on this boat for a purpose. And I know that I have the promises of God. I want you to anchor your life to that this morning. I want you to anchor your life to those three things. I don't know what you're going through. I may not know your name, but I know a God that knows you're here this morning, and He knows what you're going through. And I want you to walk out of this building this morning encouraged, knowing that no matter what hell throws your way, if you will just humble yourself before God and say, God, I can't do this by myself. There's going to be a word that's going to come to you and say, be of good courage. An angel's going to stand beside you and say, you know what? I didn't put you on this boat to let you drown. I didn't put you in this position to let you fall. I'm going to get you to where I want you to be. Do you receive the word of the Lord this morning? In the storm of your life, God says this, I will be with you. So morning came, and all 276 made it safely to shore. And I just believe that God is going to help you get to the other side. Would you be willing just to bow your head? I want to pray over you this morning. Lord Jesus, my prayer is that your word has encouraged those who just feel like they're drifting. Those who are filled this morning with despair and everything in them just wants to throw out the cargo and the tackle and the food, and they just want to throw out the values, and they just want to maybe even kind of just throw you out because life hadn't turned out the way they thought. God, I pray this morning, let somebody be reminded that we have anchors, and those anchors are your presence, because you are with us always. We have an anchor called purpose, and no person is born by accident. And we have your promises. And God, we can anchor our life to that. And I pray this morning, Lord, let someone find hope in this word. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. All right, they're going to sing this chorus. And if you're comfortable enough, I wouldn't ask you to do this to embarrass you, but if you're comfortable enough, I just want you to maybe just place your hand on your neighbor's shoulder. And I want you to pray for them right now that the presence of God, the purpose of God, and the promises of God will live in their life. Would you do that? Come on, all over this house. This is not to embarrass you. It's just for you to be encouraged.